Here comes Inspirational Gold with Carol Gold. Truth, empowerment, and inspiration. If you're tired and done with news that has an agenda, politicians that seek only re-election, and a culture run amok, Carol Gold awakens you to what is and what's possible. And now, supporting you on the journey, honoring you in your choices, empowering you to be your highest self, and always lighting and leading the way, here is Carol Gold.
Hi, I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Inspirational Gold. If you'd like a live on-air reading tonight while I am live and on air, the number is 858-777-8442. I titled the show about spiritual and practical preparation because I think it's important that we look at preparation not as something that's born out of fear or paranoia, but something that's very much a fundamental principle in getting through life in a way that you're ready for what happens. So let's look at it first where it's easier to understand, which is physical preparation. So if you are, let's say you love sports, you love ice skating, and your dream is to skate in the U.S. Olympics. Or even in the World Olympics. So what you have to do is, you can't just wake up one morning, the morning of the Olympic tryouts, grab your skates and go on over to the rink and expect to be chosen. You have to spend what many professional skaters have done, which is 6 and 7 and 8 hours a day for years, practicing your craft and getting it ready. If you are an actor and you want to appear on Broadway, similarly, you can't get up one morning and decide you're going to go to a Broadway tryout and expect to get the lead or even a major part. More likely than not, you've spent years studying acting and perfecting your monologue, your dance routine, so that even in order to try out, you have the most basic requirements that any director or producer is going to be asking of you in that initial tryout. You can't just show up because you want it to be so. If you are, let's say, seeking a job on Wall Street, you can't just knock on the door of a Wall Street investment house with no credentials and no experience and say, I want to trade somebody else's money. You're probably going to go to school, you're going to get an MBA, you may get even beyond an MBA, and you're going to be able to show your stuff. You're going to be able to show your grade point average, you're going to be able to show that you have the personality and the passion to do the job, and then hopefully you're going to get hired and get a chance to prove yourself. If you wanted to learn the piano, you can't just sit down one day and play the piano. You go through years of practice. Why? We call it muscle memory. My piano teacher always used to say it's muscle memory, meaning you practice all week for your piano lesson on the sixth or seventh day, because if you've actually put in the time all week, you're going to be able to sit down at that piano lesson and kind of breeze through whatever you were assigned the week before. Why? Because the memory of those keys, where those fingers are supposed to be in relationship to those keys, is going to be embedded in what he called your muscle memory, so that you can basically sit down and go sort of on autopilot. If you put in 20 minutes a day practicing your piano and your teacher shows up, you're not going to do too well. If you put in an hour, you're going to do better. If, as many concert pianists have in their lifetimes, you put in 6 or 7 hours a day practice, which is what it takes, then when you finally hit Carnegie Hall and you're the solo act up on the stage, you sit down and with a tremendous amount of muscle memory behind you, you play hopefully flawlessly. It's no different in the spiritual realm. And I don't know why we think it is. In the spiritual realm, in order to be ready for what you need spiritually when you're confronted with huge ethical or moral or spiritual decisions, what you need is a great deal of, let's put quote air quote marks, muscle memory. You need to have established your values, your principles, and your faith in whatever way you perceive your spiritual life and your relationship to a divine source. You have to have all that in place, and you have to have worked on that for a very long time. I'm going to give you an example. I knew a rabbi once who used to commute from New York to Philadelphia to do services, Friday and Saturday services, for a very small congregation in New Jersey, actually. And he oftentimes got back to New York late at night or past midnight, early a.m. the next morning, like 1 a.m., and he would walk. He would take the bus from New Jersey back to New York, and from the bus, he would walk to his apartment. He was the most jovial human being I had ever met. He found joy in everything. He had a smile on his... It was like the Dalai Lama, only, you know, wearing a yarmulke. So one night, when he was walking from the bus in New York back to his apartment in Brooklyn, he was surrounded by seven or eight teenage boys. They were there to beat him up. They were there to rob him and beat him up. And as they circled him and they began to sort of push him around, he was a very slight, small build, he began to laugh. And this joyous laughter that he had. And no matter how much they threatened him, and one of them had a knife, he just kept smiling and talking to them in a jovial way and making light of everything. And they finally, one looked at the other and said, "Let's get out of here. This guy's crazy." And they left. They never harmed him. I don't know if he could have responded that way if he hadn't spent years committing himself to his faith, what he believed in, how he believed in it, how he saw himself in relationship to other human beings, what fear level he had or didn't have as a result of his faith. It's the best example I've really ever run into of how this person, this rabbi, was prepared for what would have caused fear and trembling and who knows what other kinds of reaction in someone had they not known what their values were, what they believed in, and what their commitment, their faith commitment was. So the reason that I went through all of this in the beginning of the show was to say, we're going through extraordinary times. Value systems, not just business systems, not just the economy, value systems are changing, and they're changing dramatically. The way that you survive radical change is to have in place that, quote, muscle memory of what are your values, what are your principles, what do you believe in, where do you stand, how dedicated and secure is your faith? Because if you don't have those things in place, and by the way, having them in place doesn't mean being inflexible. Having them in place means you still have to be adaptable. You still have to have flexibility, a certain amount. But like the expression that the wind bends but it doesn't break the branch, that's the one that survives. You have to have a core connection, as it were. If I'm using a tree as an analogy, you have to have a connection to the main trunk, even if you're a branch, in order to, once you survive the storm, you're still connected to that source of nourishment that allowed you to remain nourished through the tussling winds, if you would. So this is what I'm talking about. All of the radical changes that we are going through, and by the way, we all know they're going to increase, they're going to become more rapid, they're going to become more challenging, because that's the rate at which we're evolving. If you want to feel secure during it all, you have to not get caught up in what other people are saying or doing. You have to do the interior work, meaning you have to firmly establish your connection with Source, whatever you believe Source to be. You have to know what that connection means to you. You have to work on maintaining that connection. And you have to understand what the boundaries or the parameters are of that connection. And those turn out to be the values and principles that are part of your belief system, whatever that system is. I'm not here to tell you what you have to believe in, who you have to believe in. I saw a funny bumper sticker, a sign today. I was walking past the store and it said, "Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite." And I laugh. I mean, I'm Jewish, but it's funny. You have to know what your connection is to that source so that when those rough times come, whether they're in your financial life, whether they're in your relationship life, whether they're in your professional life, when those challenges come, you have something to hold on to during the shifting sands and the violent winds, right? So before I continue, and we'll continue with this in the show, let me take a caller. I think I have a caller. I'm not sure if there's someone who wants to. Let's find out. Area code 818, are you just listening to the show, or would you like to make a comment or get a reading?
Hi, Carol. Hi, Carol.
I'm sorry, you cut out. Who is it?
It's from California. I would love a reading.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry again. The name?
Diane.
Oh, my gosh. Diane from California. Now I know who it is. How are you?
I'm fabulous. I'm happy I found you tonight. And everything you said today was just so focused on something I could absorb, every word. It was really great, Carol.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
You know, really and truly, my question, if I could focus it on, I became a grandmother 3 weeks now, and it's like the most fabulous thing there ever was. And it's my daughter-in-law, and she's a little bit, they live 12 minutes away from me, and she's a little bit possessive of my time there. And I'm wondering if she'll change or if that's how it's going to be. And I have to just accept it. And, I would love to have more time at the house with the baby. And I'm not getting that.
Okay. So when you began to speak, I was guided to turn over a card in the fairy deck. And the card that I turned over is titled Inner Child. And the picture on the card is a woman sort of floating off the ground in a very diaphanous kind of gown, and she has a baby in her arms. And I smiled as you began to explain your situation, because the message that's coming through, Diane, is number one, she's actually overreacting because two things are happening, one for her and one for you. For her, it's that she's actually very insecure about dealing with the baby, but she's overreacting. She's acting really sort of possessive and secure, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right, because she's not really, but she has this false sense of kind of maternal, like the sort of the mama bear beating her chest kind of thing. Like, this is my baby, right? And I'll take care of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, two things. One, she has to settle down within her own comfort level with this newborn. She'll come to realize that she can handle it. And in fact, she'll come to realize that it's more work than she actually wants. And she'll come to the point where she'll be glad to have your help. And she'll be glad to have your time. On your end, Diane, it's really important. This is going to be an opportunity for you, as this child grows, to get back in touch with your own inner child and with your own joyfulness and your own ability to shake off the responsibilities and the binds and the bounds of adulthood and all the pressures that it puts on us every day to perform and to achieve and to do all of that. It's going to give you, this child is going to give you a real sense of freedom and joy. So they're saying be patient with her. They're saying don't push her. They're saying bide your time, because the time that you want with that child will come not when you need it, Diane, but when the child needs it.
Perfect.
The child will need you at various points, and those are the times when it's going to open up for you and you'll be able to get the time that you need, but more importantly, the time that the child needs.
You know, Carol, when I was there, I'm there, but not for lengths of time. And they asked me to sleep over one night at the very beginning. And I was it was great. I really helped. But the bottom line is, what you just said, the baby, for some reason, when I was holding him the other day, I said, he'll need me, and then he'll call for me, and she won't say no. I just, said that to my son. Nicely, and that's just what you said to me.
It's because you and the child, Diane, have a soul connection.
I can feel that. I know.
And that's why this is your grandchild, and it's much more than just, oh, this is my grandchild. There's a very old connection here that needs to play out. And needs to balance out, and needs to. There's an aspect of your relationship with this child which is Oh my gosh, it's like a. Is it a boy?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you that in another life, you and this soul were lovers.
Oh God. So unreal. You know, I look at this baby and I talk to him nonstop. And no one else talks to him but me.
Yeah. Old conversation. You're just picking up where you left off, Diane. That's all.
And I said to my son, does it bother you? He said, no, Mom, that's great. That's whatever you like.
Yeah. It's actually quite beautiful and wonderful. And I feel all good things around you and the baby. And with her, she's got some issues that are being exaggerated by the postpartum and exaggerated by the responsibilities of this baby in her life. And they go way beyond you. They really have very little to do with you. So give her the space she needs and honor that as part of her journey. And your time will come, they're saying.
Yes. I'm loving this reading, Carol. That was so helpful. That made me so high. What an elevation. You're powerful. Thank you, doll.
You're welcome, Diane. Blessings. It's good to hear from you.
You too. Blessings to you.
Stay well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so let's go to area code 484. Hi, this is Carol. You're live on Inspirational Gold. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, my name is Tonetta. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Is it Tonetta with a T or Jonetta with a J?
T.
T. Tonetta. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Tonetta.
Yes, this is the first time I found your show.
Good. So tell me what can we do for you?
Well, can I ask a question regarding my love/home life? I mean,
sure.
Do you do readings over the phone?
I'm doing a reading right now on air for you. What would you like to know?
Okay. Well, I definitely need to know if Dan, who I am involved with here for a while, if he's going to move forward and want to physically come and live with me.
Yeah, it feels like, I haven't gone to the cards yet, and I will, but it feels like Dan is kind of, you'll know what this means, I don't. Dan is not standing in his power. Does that phrase have meaning to you?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So it feels like to me when I tap into Dan's energy, it feels like Dan is sort of on his own within himself and not sure about himself, and so he's reluctant to really open up to somebody else because he's not coming from his own power place. Does that make sense?
Well, he's been distant for a few weeks, so
yeah.
I'm not sure, but I had another reader say that by the end of June, beginning of July, he would be confronting me and wanting to live here. So that's why I'm confused.
So, well, don't be confused because there are no prophets in the world that I'm aware of at the moment. We're just intuitives. Some call themselves psychics. And it doesn't mean that any of us are 100% right. So don't you get confused because you have two conflicting readings. One of us is right and one of us is not. And one of us, you know, we're both talking to you and we both may see possibility, not necessarily outcome. You know, that's what free will is. It's always that we have choice, even when we think we don't. So what that other reader was seeing may be, and I'm not qualified to tell you what they perceive, but I'm just giving you a reason to not get yourself confused, and that is they may be seeing a potential outcome based on choices that you and Dan make separately within the next, say, month, if she said end of July. I personally rarely give time. And I don't give time because in the place where the information comes from, there is no time. So I'm very reluctant to have people get hooked on a time frame. And then if it doesn't happen, they feel let down or they feel disappointed or as if they did something wrong. That's my particular style. So what I'm seeing about him, and you said he's been distant for a few weeks now, I'm seeing that he's in choice. He's very much within himself. He's kind of drawn back his energy into himself, and he's sort of locked in there or stuck in there in the moment or choosing to be in there in the moment. I'm not sure what is the cause, but he's very solitary right now. He's very solitary. I don't see him with another woman. I don't see him out partying around. I just see him being very solitary. He may be making a major decision within himself. He may be deciding what the next step is of what he wants to do in relationship to you. And that may be the reason. It may be his style that when he does need to make a major decision, he goes into himself. He doesn't share it or dialogue with you or anyone else. He does it internally. That may be his style. And it may be where he is right now. All I see in the moment in answer to this question, and I'll go to the cards in 1 minute, all I see intuitively is that he's very solitary right now and not open at all to any input. To any input. And I would allow him to have that space. Because you need to trust that the universe will bring the highest outcome for you. So the reason that you want to leave him alone is because you don't want to force something, because you don't want to influence something that you might not cause the highest outcome to evolve of its own accord. They're saying pull your energy away from the situation and let him come to his own decision. Now, I have three decks. I have the messages from the angels, I have the angels, and I have the goddess deck. Which of the three do you want?
Something's telling me number three deck, the third deck.
The goddess deck. Okay. So then let's ask the goddess deck, that frequency of energy that we call the goddess deck, let's ask that to give us some guidance around Dan. And say your name again.
Tomette.
Right. Okay. So let's just ask for guidance around that. Okay. So the card that comes up is the boundaries card. Ishtar is the card. And the word on that card is boundaries. And it says, love yourself enough to say no to others' demands on your time and energy. So what they're telling me right now is a follow-up to what I just said to you about pull your energy back out of the situation. Focus on yourself. Don't over worry and concern yourself with what he's going to do. Almost go about your life right now as if he didn't exist. Not that you should have anger or resentment or anything else for him. Just go about your life now as if he weren't there, and allow the same way that a fruit would ripen or something you put in the oven to bake would eventually cook and the bell would ring and you would take it out of the oven.
Right.
You know, let him do that now, and you go on your way asking yourself, okay, what do I need to do now for myself to help myself feel good?
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have something else you wanted to ask me?
Yes, I'm having some problems at my job that I'm doing. I do private home care and for an agency, and they have me on a case right now, and there's a lot of drama with the adult children, plus there's six other caregivers coming and going, and it's like a four-ring circus. And I don't want to be in that assignment anymore. I've told the company that, but they ignore me. They just, you know, they're just thinking of the dollar sign. So am I going to be on another assignment, or what's going to go on here?
When you first called and said you had, I said, what can we do for you? I actually thought your question was going to be about your job, not about your romantic life, because this is the bigger issue for you right now, believe it or not. And the boundary question, the boundary card pertains to this even more than it pertains to your romantic life. The other side of this card, or I always pull a top and a bottom. I didn't tell you what it was when we were speaking about Dan because I couldn't make the connection, but now I can. It's infinite supply, and it's Sedna is the goddess, infinite supply. And the message on the card is you are supplied for today and all of your tomorrows. Now, the card upside down. The boundary card was right side up. The way I read that is, and here's the most important thing they want you to know. Unless you establish fixed boundaries for yourself in terms of your energy, in terms of what you allow people to drain out of you, you will not be able to reap the rewards that are there for you. There is infinite supply for you in this lifetime. You will have what you need financially. However, right now you're in a crisis of boundary. And that boundary crisis is not only around the employer, it's also around the people that you're interacting with in this family, which it's like, I feel like it is a three-ring circus, and I feel like they are all pulling not only on each other, but on you as well. And you need to lovingly be able to say no. You need to lovingly be able to say, this is all I can do in the moment, without feeling guilt or feeling as if a negative repercussion will come back to you. You have to manage in the moment this family in order for the employer to move you on. In order for circumstances to shift for your better, you have to first figure out how to manage this family. That is your prime concern right now, not Dan. And actually, he's done you a favor by disappearing for the past few weeks emotionally, because your energy needs to be on setting boundaries.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so blessings to you, and do that work, and I wish you all good things.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So that's how it works, folks. spirit is here for all of us. It is here as a support system. And it's why when the show started, I talked about the importance of muscle memory and establishing your values and your priorities and knowing what your faith level is and to what you're connected. Because while I'm here and others are here to act as lights along the way and be here to provide the support the community does provide, and we are a community, we are a community of light, the reason that that's so important is because while we are signposts along the way, and we're like when the runners are running in a marathon, and the people are standing along the side with little cups of water, right? And the runners run by, and they're so dehydrated, and they just grab a cup and they keep running. Those people standing by the road with that cup of water make all the difference in the world because they allow the runner to keep going. And that's what I do, and that's what others like me do. I call us light workers. You can call us anything you want. Call me crazy. I don't really care. It's real. It works. It brings me joy. And it brings nourishment to people who are seeking nourishment. So as we go through these extraordinary changes that the nation is going through, but more importantly that the culture is going through and that the consciousness is going through, and as we deal with earth changes, some of which will be dramatic and potentially devastating, and when we deal with cultural changes that can be dramatic and potentially devastating, depending on where you are in the culture, it's really critical that you are anchored and rooted and grounded, not in something material, because all of that can go away, but that you are anchored and grounded and stabilized by your values, by your principles, by your faith, and by your everyday practice, your everyday living of that faith, of those values, and of those principles. Because the more you use them, the more they come to you, the stronger you get in them. Here's what I mean. Lately, I've been waking up every morning, and after I put the energetic protections around myself that I do in the morning, I say to God, Source, whatever you believe, every morning I say to God, please give me someone to help today. Please give me someone to serve today. It never fails that if I ask, it's granted. It never fails that someone, it may be small. It was two things, but the smaller, I'll give you an example. I was out earlier. I was coming out of a library. And there was a woman in a brand new, in a 2015 vehicle, I think it was an Infiniti, and she really was intimidated by her car. She really didn't know how to drive it, and she was backing up out of a parking space where there were a row of cars behind her and a row of cars in front of her. So she had to back up and then kind of turn her car forward and head. She just couldn't back up, and there I was. So I just waved to her, and I motioned, come on, come on, come on, come on, you're okay, you're okay. All the way back, I mean, she could have gotten two trucks out of that spot, but she couldn't. And so there I was in a moment when she needed help. And the smile on her face when she put it in drive and started to pull away, and the wave that she gave me, I was so happy. I was happy for her. I was happy for me. I thanked God for giving me a chance to help her. And her day went off better because of it. So it can be something small like that, or it can be something very large. It can be someone needing a healing. It could be someone who calls me because they need an emergency reading. Or it could be in your life, it can be everything from tiny to huge, right? And it's a spectrum in between. Don't judge the size of the service. The size of the service is directly tied to the size of your intention to gift help. That's the size of the service. So the reward is no greater if it's grand or if it's small. When help is needed, all help is valued the same, because when it's help, it's needed, and the person getting it is grateful. And by the way, all of the scientific studies now show that the person doing the giving or doing the service gets a greater dispension, that's not even a word, a greater, what's the word? There's more serotonin, there are more endorphins, there are more positive hormones and chemicals released in the brain dispensed. There it is. Thank you, Spirit. Dispensed in the brain of the giver or the helper than there is in the brain of the receiver. Imagine the reward for giving truly is biologically and biochemically greater for the giver, right? So when you have a spiritual principle that it's better to give than to receive, and it sounds like, oh, yeah, well, that's cute, but, you know, that's probably not true. Guess what? It is true. They've proven it. So there are a lot of things that we do every day that we could do better because we could do them with an open heart, with an understanding of how connected we are to one another and how much helping you really is helping me and how much hurting you really is hurting me. How much hating you is so much worse for me than it is for you. Or getting angry at you is so much worse for me than it is for you. We have to be really cognizant of this and then live our truth. The more we live these truths every day, the more I promise you, you will be one of those people with the cup by the side of the road as very panicked, very frightened people, as there are in Greece today. Confront the shifting sands of reality under our feet and wonder, can I go on? Can I make it one more day? You want to be standing by the side of that road figuratively, holding that figurative cup, giving them just a sip, enough to keep them going till the next cup, right? You don't have to solve all the problems. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to definitively know with 100% certainty that you've got the only answer. You just have to fulfill what gets put in front of you every day. That's your portion. No more, no less. So let me just do a little promoting here for a minute. And then I want to do a meditation prayer before I close the show. I feel like it's important tonight. A little self-promotion before I do that, and then I'm going to do a healing prayer and a cleansing healing and a healing prayer. The little self-promotion is I have two books online. Actually, I have two books currently online. One is The Lightworker's Handbook, A Spiritual Guide to Eliminating Fear. The other is called Money, How to See It, How to Get It, How to Keep It. Sounds like it's an inconsistent book, right, for spiritual intuitive. It's actually about the energy of money. It was co-authored with Steve Clark, who is a Wall Street trader in the international market sector and a very devoted Catholic. I obviously, as you know, am a mystical Jew, so we're quite the combo. Both those books can be gotten on Amazon. You can go to my website, Carol, CAROLEGold.com, on the products page for my book. You can go to our website, Steve's and mine, called AboveTheFrayPodcast.com, because we do a podcast 2 days a week, Monday and Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, called Above the Fray. So on our website, AboveTheFrayPodcast.com, you can buy the ebook, the Kindle book, Money, How to See It, How to Get It, How to Keep It. There are, oh my gosh, I think 28 steps, along with 28 personal stories from Steve and myself as to how those steps play out in everyday life. And I am about to publish something about which I am very excited. It is called The Cardinal Principles, and it's 12 Principles for Surviving Change. The book was channeled through me. I am in the process of just finishing it up, so I'll keep you posted on that. That, to me, is the most important work in terms of writing that I've done in my life so far, and I think it will be a very meaningful book. So, having said all of that and reminding you that I'm here on Tuesday nights at 6:30, and Steve and I are here Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern, on AboveTheFrayPodcast.com. All my stuff and all of Steve's and my work is on iTunes as well, archived. So, having done that little bit of promotion, let me now just call in I'm going to call in all of the energetic realms, starting with the fairies, the angels, the archangels. Remember, everyone, these are just frequencies like AM and FM. There's nothing mystical or magical about any of this other than that it's actually real and it works. I guess that's the mystical, magical part. But the same way there's AM and FM frequency, there are many other frequencies in the universe on which information and guidance travels and is available. It's simply a matter of being able to tune into those frequencies, and because language is the way that we communicate, we give names to these frequencies, Michael and Gabriel and Ariel and the archangels and Metatron and et cetera, et cetera. They are frequencies. So when I use the words and I call them in, I'm actually simply opening myself to the highest possible frequencies that are available to me now, you know, in my present state, and available to act as both healing energy and guiding energy to all of my listeners, whether they are listening live or whether they listen archived. So let's call in all of those light realms of energy that are of the highest order that we can access at this time. And we ask you, well, first of all, we thank you. We thank you for your love, for your guidance, for your protection, for your stalwartness in being there whenever we need you. All we need do is ask. You always respond. And for that, we are eternally grateful. And so let us return gratitude and love to you in advance of today's healing and in advance of today's guidance. In terms of healing, if you are listening, would you please close your eyes and allow your heart to open to my heart as a conduit for healing light, whether you need physical, emotional, or mental, or spiritual healing at this time, it is now yours to receive. Allow the light to enter through your heart and travel throughout your body. Light has intelligence. It will go where it is most needed, despite what you may think. And may all of my listeners and all of those people around the world who are open to receiving the light be healed of the pain or the suffering or the obstacles and blockages that they are dealing with in their own lives. And may they come to know the perfection of themselves as they were created in the image and likeness of. And now for guidance, I ask that the angelic realm, who can provide us now with the words and the energy that can most effectively help us move through the days ahead. Weep for those who think
90 seconds.
Weep for those who think they are alone. Embrace those who think they are unloved. Light the way for those who think they are in darkness. Understand that you are here with purpose, on purpose, for a purpose. And that nothing about you is anything less than divine. You are our ambassador. You create the future. You are oneness. You are who you chose to be. And if you so choose, choose again. You are a creator, infinite and eternal, in motion. Blessings to each and every one of you. Have a wonderful week, everyone. And as I like to say, namaste. May the divinity in me recognize and bow to the divinity in you. I'm Carol Gold. Namaste.
You've been listening to Inspirational Gold with Carol Gold. Please check out Carol's blog on her website at www.carolgold.com. You can email her at contact@carolgold.com. Carol can also be heard Fridays at 10 a.m. Central on Above the Fray podcast with co-host Steve Clark. Please visit Carol's fan page on Facebook at Above the Fray podcast. And follow her on Twitter at Carol Gold Now. It's great having you be a part of creating a better world. Until we're all back together again.
Namaste. Namaste. Namaste.